I love how friendly you are. Let me ask you to go ahead and begin making your way back to your seat. I know the Sunday after Easter can be, if we allow it to be, kind of a down Sunday. You know, we're on this spiritual high of Easter, and then the next Sunday comes, and we're not really expecting God to do all that much in our heart or our mind or our life. And I really want to encourage you to fight against that. I want to encourage you to lean in, because we're starting a new sermon series. But I got to tell you first, I was greeting in the early service, and I walked up to one lady and just said, "Good morning, how you doing?" And she said, "I'm just feeling a little dusty this morning." And I laughed, and she didn't elaborate, and I'm like, okay, I gotta ask. So I'm like, okay, I don't understand. She goes, "Well, I read this devotional this morning." Literally, this just happened. She goes, "I read this devotional this morning, and you know, it talks about how when we die, our body returns back unto the dust." And she said, "It dawned on me, I'm just feeling a little dusty this morning." So if you're feeling dusty, some of y'all are going, "That's not real funny." If you're feeling dusty, the point of the illustration there is wipe the dust off. Get it out of your ears too. Get all the dust, because I want you to lean in and I want you to hear what we're talking about today, because we're starting a sermon series that we're calling Now What? And here's kind of the background of the series. There's Good Friday, Jesus crucified. Then Easter Sunday, Jesus rises again. And I want you to imagine the disciples, Jesus is back. And they're going, okay, Jesus is back, baby. We're back in business. Jesus, what's next? And Jesus goes, whoa, wait. I'm only back for about 40 days, and I'm going to ascend to the right hand of the Father. And I can imagine the disciples just going, "Whoa, wait a minute, you're going to leave us again? Friday was bad enough, and now Sunday came, and we're excited. And so now what are we going to do if you're going to leave?" And Jesus says in the Gospel of John, chapter 16, "It's actually to your advantage that I go away." Can you imagine Jesus actually saying that? "It's to your advantage that I go away. For if I go away, I will send you the Helper, who is the Holy Spirit." It's to your advantage. So we're starting a sermon series on the Holy Spirit. And you go, "Well, why are we going to do a series on the Holy Spirit?" Well, first of all, because the Holy Spirit is God. We believe in one God, but one God in three persons. We call it the Trinity. I've got a graph that I want you to see that hopefully just kind of helps to make the point. God the Father is God. God the Son is God. God the Holy Spirit is God. And so there's one God, not three separate gods, but three distinct persons in the Godhead. In other words, the Holy Spirit is not the Father, the Father is not the Son, and the Son is not the Holy Spirit. And so why are we doing a series on the Holy Spirit? Because the Holy Spirit is God, and the Holy Spirit lives inside of us, and we need to know what the Holy Spirit is up to. But we also want to do a sermon series on the Holy Spirit, because the fact is, God the Holy Spirit indwells every believer. If you have come to the place in your life where you have said, "Jesus, I repent of my sin. I repent of rejecting your authority over my life. And I confess you as my Lord, my God, my King, my Savior. I believe you died for me." Did you know if you call upon the name of Jesus to save you, he saves you. And in that very moment, the Holy Spirit comes and takes up residence in your soul. God, the Holy Spirit, is living inside of you. If the Holy Spirit's living inside of you, it makes sense that you and I'd want to know what the Holy Spirit is up to. But not only that, the Holy Spirit is also the least understood of the three persons of the Godhead. I mean, we kind of get Father, we kind of get Son, especially in the sense that the Son is Jesus, the Savior who died for us. But when it comes to the Holy Spirit, we're a little bit kind of in the dark. What is the Holy Spirit? Who is the Holy Spirit? What does the Holy Spirit do inside of me? I believe God knew that we'd have trouble really grasping the role of the Holy Spirit. Father we get, Son we get. And so what he did is he gave us some symbols, and he said, "When you think of the Holy Spirit, just think of these symbols, and it will help you to understand the role of the Holy Spirit in your life." One of the symbols that we're going to look at this morning, the symbol we're going to look at, is fire But there are others, the symbol for wind or breath. And there's also the symbol of dove. Think of the Holy Spirit, think of a dove. And then there's also the symbol of helper. And we'll look at all of those in this sermon series, but this morning we're gonna really focus in on fire, the symbol of the Holy Spirit as the holy fire of God burning inside of us. And my encouragement is get the dust out of your ears, because we need to lean in and we need to hear what the Holy Spirit is up to us. A silly analogy, illustration, but hang with me in it. Imagine you go home after church today and somebody knocks on the door, you open the door and it's a complete stranger. You've never seen this stranger before. And this stranger says to you, "Hey, listen, I know it's a crazy sounding request, but I need a place to live. And I'm thinking you've got a spare bedroom, you've got a couch. Could I move into your spare bedroom or just sleep on a couch?" I mean, I know what you'd say. You'd say no. I'd say no, but we're gonna call the cops if you don't get off our porch. But here's the thing. I want you to imagine, crazy illustration, I get it. But I want you to imagine for some unseen reason, unknown reason, you go, "Okay, yeah, sure, you can move in." Now, another dumb question, okay? The answer is obvious, so don't even answer it out loud. But here's my question. If you have a complete stranger that moves into a spare bedroom in your house, would you keep your eyes on that stranger? Obviously. Yes. You're going to watch that stranger with an eagle eye, right? You're going to want to know, is the stranger up to good or no good? Good or evil? Well, in the very same way, you have the Holy Spirit now living inside of you, and it makes total sense that if we have someone, capital S, someone living inside of us, we ought to keep an eye on him and try to figure out what he's up to. So if you want to know, I want you to listen as I read out of the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house, a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues as of fire, wind, fire, appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. We see two symbols for the Holy Spirit in this one text alone, wind and fire. This morning, we're gonna look at the Holy Spirit as the holy fire of God, which is burning inside of us. And if you wanna know where I'm going in this message, I can tell you, here's what I believe the Holy Spirit, who is the holy fire of God burning inside us, is doing. The Holy Spirit chips away everything that doesn't look like Jesus. So let's dive into the text. Notice how it says, fire appeared and rested on each one of them. Do you know in the Word of God that fire is often used as a symbol for God? In the book of Hebrews, it says this, fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. For our God is a consuming fire. You remember in the Old Testament, Moses, burning bush, what does it say there? It says, and the angel of the Lord. In the Old Testament, when you read about an angel, it's an angel. When you read about the angel, theologians, at least those that I respect and trust, will tell you, it's talking about the pre-incarnate Christ. And that's why we say God appeared to Moses at the burning bush. And notice what it says, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire. God often appears to us as fire in Scripture. The Holy Spirit is the all-consuming fire of God. So what is he up to? Well, what does fire do? Fire, first of all, gives off light. Your word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. We're not gonna study that aspect because we're gonna talk about how the Holy Spirit guides and directs our steps in another sermon later in the series. And so there's something else that fire does and that the holy fire of God is doing inside you this very day. And that is fire cleanses, fire purifies. In Scripture, we read, the crucible is for silver and the furnace is for gold. for basically all of recorded history. Fire has been used by humans to purify stuff. If you want to get pure gold, you put gold into the furnace and all the impurities will burn up, and what remains is pure gold. Fire purifies, and the holy fire of God, what is he doing in your heart and your life? I'll tell you what he's doing. He is purifying your soul. He's burning away all of the filth of your former way of life. The holy fire of God is cleaning up your mind, your life, your thoughts, your priorities. When you think about the Holy Spirit working in your life, think about spring cleaning. Any of y'all done spring cleaning on your garage yet? I got out there about a week ago and did the spring cleaning in my garage. I mean, I moved everything that was on the floor out into the driveway. And I'm telling you, I straightened up all the shelves. And it's amazing how much junk just kind of piles up over the course of a winter. I threw away a bunch of stuff. I got all the shelves organized again and straightened again. And then I started on the floor. And it's amazing over the course of a winter, leaves and cobwebs and dead bugs, and I got my blower out, and man, I just started blowing and I blew it all out. And I'm telling you, by the time I was finished, my garage was spick and span clean. I mean, it was just sparkling clean. And I mean, I'm telling you, I was about ready to hang a picture on the wall, put up a big screen TV, get me a couch, and declare it my man cave, right? I mean, that baby was nice. Now listen to me. That's what the Holy Spirit is doing in your soul, not just once a year, but every single day and every moment of every day. He is spring cleaning your soul. But we go, how does the Holy Spirit cleanse our soul, purify our soul? Primary, not the only way, but primarily through conviction. In the Gospel of John, chapter 16, it says this, and when he comes, talking about the Holy Spirit, verse 7 says, it's good, it's beneficial to you that I, Jesus, go away, because if I go away, I'm gonna send you the helper. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. The Holy Spirit is the holy fire of God, and he is purifying your soul. And the way that he is purifying your soul this very day, even as you are listening to me, the Holy Spirit is burning inside of you. If you are a child of God through faith in Jesus, and he is purifying you, first of all, by convicting you of sin. The word for sin there is hamartia. It means literally to miss a mark, to miss a goal, to miss the bullseye. And here's what the Holy Spirit does. You're living your life, and every time your life begins to veer off course, did you know that God has a goal for your life? God has a plan for your life. God has a target for your life, and it's being fully formed in the way of Jesus. It is walking in righteousness. And every time your life begins to veer off course, what happens is the Holy Spirit begins to sound an alarm in your soul, revealing to you that your life is off course. The Holy Spirit begins to show you when you're missing the mark with your words, your attitude, your generosity level, your kindness level. You know those times when you know you have done something wrong? I mean, you've been selfish with your time. You've been critical with your words. You've been short with your temper. That is not just your conscience speaking. That is the holy fire of God burning in you, sounding the alarm that your life is off course. It's conviction from the Holy Spirit. I've shared with you a number of times that Satan is into guilt, God is into conviction. Satan wants you looking back at your failures. Satan wants to freeze you and paralyze you in your failures. Satan wants to remind you, you did this and you coulda, woulda, and shoulda, and you didn't, and God doesn't love you, and God doesn't like you, and God could never use you again. You might as well run from God, because he doesn't want you running to God, he wants you running from God, right? And so now the Holy Spirit is just the opposite. The Holy Spirit is into conviction. And what the Holy Spirit does is the Holy Spirit shows you, hey, your life is off course. And the Holy Spirit calls you to confess it. Confess it means that you agree with God. God, I get it. My life is off course. My language is off course. My priorities are off course. My generosity level is off course. My kindness level is off course. And God, I repent of that. And I am aligning my life once again with the way that you've called me to go. But the Holy Spirit doesn't just stop there saying, confess the sin. The Holy Spirit leads you to embrace forgiveness. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to what? Forgive us. And so the Holy Spirit is not content to let you just wallow in your guilt and beat yourself up for over every failure. The Holy Spirit wants you to embrace forgiveness. God, I confess the sin. God, I embrace the forgiveness, because now when you embrace the forgiveness, you can do the next thing the Holy Spirit leads you to do. And that is to press forward with Jesus once again and forget what lies behind. We get that from the Apostle Paul. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind. What did Paul have to forget? That he was a murderer. That he was trying to arrest Christians. That he was trying to shut down Christianity. And Jesus, when Jesus confronted Paul on the road to Damascus, his name was Saul then. And Jesus said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? I don't know what you've done, but I know this. It's probably not as bad as what Paul has done. You've probably not been trying to shut down Christianity. If you have, what you've done is as bad as what Paul did. And you need to repent really quickly. And you need to embrace God's forgiveness. But then you need to do what Paul did. Paul said, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Paul said, I'm not going to wallow in self-pity, and I'm not going to beat myself up until the day I die that I was a murderer and I tried to shut down Christianity. Jesus has forgiven me from that. And now I'm going to press on with Jesus to what God is calling me to do. I'm going to live on mission with Jesus, and I'm going to live in victory with Jesus. See, that's called conviction, where you're going, I confess, and I believe God's cast my sin as far as the east is from the west, and now I'm getting on with life with Jesus. That's conviction. Do you realize what it's really talking about here is sanctification? See, when you trust Jesus, you are declared positionally righteous. I go over this with you about once a month, I think. When you say, Jesus, I repent of my sin. I confess you as my Lord, my God, my Savior, and I commit myself to follow you. In that moment, you are saved, and the Holy Spirit comes and takes up residence in you, and you are made righteous. You are justified, and positionally, you are righteous in Jesus. But let me tell you something. You still have a ways to go, amen? In practice, you still aren't fully righteous. Oh, positionally, your sins are forgiven. You've received the righteousness of Jesus. But in practice, some of the old life is still hanging around. And so what the Holy Spirit, this holy fire of God is doing, he is just chipping away everything in you that doesn't look like Jesus. So that one day, when you stand before Jesus, you will be glorified. You know what that means? That means that you will be declared not just righteous positionally, but you will be righteous in practice. And so that's what's going on with the holy fire of God. It is justification, sanctification, and glorification. I mean, this is an incredible thing that the Holy Spirit is doing. So the Holy Spirit was the fire of God. What does the fire do? Well, it guides, but we're not gonna talk about that. The fire also purifies. How does the fire purify? Well, the Holy Spirit purifies by convicting us of sin and convicting us of righteousness. Did you catch that in the text? Convicts the world concerning sin and righteousness. Now listen to me. I love this part. The Holy Spirit isn't just pointing out, oh, here's what you did wrong. The Holy Spirit is right there pointing out, and here's what I'm calling you to do right. Here's a picture of Jesus. Here's a picture of the way of Jesus. Here's what Jesus would do. And the Holy Spirit is always shining the spotlight on Jesus and that which is right and good. Did you know this word righteousness right here means right before God. The Holy Spirit has just given you this incredible picture of what is right before God. So the Holy Spirit convicts of sin and righteousness, and then get this, the Holy Spirit convicts of judgment. Did you catch that in the text? See, the Holy Spirit is always right there saying, hey, wait a minute, guess what? Hey, whoa, stop. Your life has gotten off course. And the Holy Spirit is there, that's sin. Look, here's the goal, that's righteousness. And the Holy Spirit is also right there convicting you of judgment, saying, hey, listen to me. If you keep going in this direction, listen, Satan has come to steal, kill, and destroy. Here's where this path is going to lead. Here's what's going to result. And it's going to lead to bad things in your marriage. It's going to lead to bad things in your health. It's going to be leading to bad things in your career. I'm telling you, Satan is going to steal, kill, and destroy. But listen to me. If you come back over here, oh, Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. See, the Holy Spirit convicts of judgment. That is, here's where this road leads, and here's where this road leads. Whichever road you take, you're going to reap what you sow. And that's what the holy fire of God burning inside of us is doing every single day. The Holy Spirit convicts us when we are living a life given over to piling up stuff that doesn't matter and won't last. There's a verse of scripture that haunts me. Not because I don't understand what it means, but because I fear that I do understand what it means. And here's what it says. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, in this analogy that Paul is about to lay out for us, he's saying, I'm talking about people who are building their life on the foundation of Jesus Christ. If you're building your life on the foundation of Jesus Christ, if you've repented of your sins and you've confessed Jesus as your Savior and you've made Jesus your foundation, are you a Christian? Yes or no? Are you headed to heaven? Yes or no? See, if you're building on the foundation of Jesus, you're a child of God and you're heading to heaven. But listen to this. Here's what Paul says. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, think of a house and you're building on the foundation and the foundation is solid. The foundation is secure. There's no doubt about the foundation because the foundation is Jesus. So we're talking about Christians here and we're talking about Christians who are headed to heaven. But some Christians build on this foundation, wood and hay and stubble. Anybody in here, you got a house? Do you have any wood in your house? Yes, just raise your hand. I want to see. That's 100% of us. The rest of y'all, go check it out. You're going to see that I'm right. You've got wood in your home. And so is wood, hay, stubble, is there anything inherently sinful about wood, hay, stubble? No. It's not like you're living a life that is just given over to sin and the rejection of Jesus. No. It's just that gold, silver, precious stones, your house burns down. Guess what remains? The gold, the silver, the precious stones. And so what this is talking about is somebody who gives their life to loving God and loving others. Somebody who builds on the foundation of faith, making disciples and then baptizing those who are coming to faith and then teaching somebody else how to walk with Jesus. And this is just talking about somebody who begins to live out of who they are in a life of grace and they're gathering and they're growing and they're giving and they're going. And this is just talking about somebody who lives their life for that which matters and that which lasts versus somebody, even as a Christian, who just builds wood, hay, stubble. They live their life for stuff that doesn't matter and won't last. And here's what Paul says. It ought to haunt you. I know it haunts me. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he'll receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he'll suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. You want to know what the holy fire of God is doing inside of you this morning? The holy fire of God is calling you to live a life that matters and will last for all eternity. The holy fire of God is trying to spare you of one day standing before Jesus. And by the way, when you get to Jesus, I don't believe there's any second rate citizens of heaven. If you get to heaven, you build on a foundation of Jesus Christ, you're gonna fully enjoy heaven. You're gonna be with Jesus, and it doesn't get any better than Jesus, amen? But you're gonna be standing there. Some people are gonna stand there and enter eternity realizing, you know what? On the foundation of Jesus, I used wood, hay, stubble. I gave my life over to stuff that doesn't matter and won't last. I didn't really live out of who I am in Jesus. I lived a life where my soul never really thrived. See, the Holy Spirit is trying to spare you that fate. When I think of the role of the Holy Spirit, I honestly think of a statue that I saw one time. Kim and I had the opportunity to travel to Italy, and in Italy, we made our way to Florence, and in Florence, we made our way to the Palazzo Vecchio, and then we entered into the Accademia Museum, and there we made our way to perhaps the most famous statue in the world, the statue of David by Michelangelo. I have a picture of it right here, and just trust me when I tell you that's not the full statue. You say, why didn't I show you the full statue? Because I'm not ready to retire yet, and so. But I mean, Michelangelo worked on this thing from 1501 to 1504, 17 feet from the ground to the top. He depicts David as he prepares for battle with Goliath. If you look really close, which you'll have to go look online because we only see one hand, but in one hand he's holding a stone, the other hand he's holding a slingshot. He's kind of depicting, I guess, the fact that David took off Saul's armor. I just always assumed that after he took off his armor, he put on some other clothes, but I guess not. But folklore says, and it's folklore, it's not true, but folklore says that somebody once came up to Michelangelo after seeing this incredible statue. I mean, the craftsmanship, the workmanship, I mean, the muscle. I mean, it's just like, it's amazing. It really is amazing to stand there and behold the statue. And they said, how in the world did you do it? How did you create this magnificent work of art? Michelangelo supposedly replied, I just chipped away everything that didn't look like David. You wanna know what the Holy Spirit is doing in you? The Holy Spirit is at work right now, this holy fire, chipping away everything that doesn't look like Jesus. See, you're a new creation in Christ, and you've been declared righteous, positionally righteous before Jesus, but there's a lot of the old you that is still hanging around, and so the Holy Spirit is sanctifying you and just trying to chip away everything that doesn't look like Jesus. And here's the reality. You can cooperate with the work of the Holy Spirit, or you can resist the work of the Holy Spirit. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. When the Holy Spirit convicts you, you either confess it and you embrace forgiveness, and then you say with Paul, forgetting what lies behind, Jesus, I wanna move one more time with you toward the upward call of God. I wanna live on mission. I wanna build on the foundation of Jesus with gold and silver and precious stones. Does that make sense? Or you say, what I'm doing is not that bad. You think I'm bad. You ought to see my wife. No, I'm not saying that's... You think I'm bad. You ought to see my neighbor. You think I'm bad. See, you'll either fall on your knees in confession and say, Holy Spirit, create in me a holy life, wholly devoted to you. Or you'll say, wood, hay, stubble. Those are not bad building materials. I'll just stick with that. Final thought is this. Let's go back to our stranger that you so graciously allowed to move into your home. I want you to imagine that the stranger, as it turns out, wasn't from the bad place. That the stranger is actually an amazing addition to your home. I mean, this stranger gets up every morning and this stranger is hard at work and this stranger is fixing stuff and caulking stuff and painting stuff, but not just fixing up stuff. This stranger is hard at work building on new stuff, that pergola you always wanted, that expansion you wanted, the redoing of your master bath that you always wanted. And this stranger is working. Oh, now it's still a challenge to have a stranger living in your home. It's not like you can, you know, jump out of the shower and walk around in your birthday suit or anything. You got a stranger living in your home and he's still making a lot of noise and there's dust and there's some expense for materials, but you love having the stranger there because the stranger is doing so many incredible things in your life. Listen to me, the Holy Spirit is no stranger. You may not be real familiar with him, but he is God, the Holy Spirit, and he is the holy fire of God burning inside of you. And if you let him have his way, here's what'll happen. He's not just making some repairs. The truth is, he is breaking down walls, and he is adding entire wings of hope and patience and boldness for the gospel. He is building a mansion, and yes, we could even say he is building a masterpiece that even Michelangelo's statue of David cannot compare to. That's what he's wanting to do in your life. May we all allow the Holy Spirit, this holy fire of God, to purify us and form us in the ways of Jesus. What am I inviting you to do? If you have never been declared righteous by repenting of your sin and placing your faith in Jesus, I invite you to do that. Let me tell you something. The kingdom of God is coming and it is already here, and you are either going to live under the good, kind, gracious rule of God for all of eternity, or you will be cast out of his kingdom. And there's only one king in his kingdom, and his name is Jesus, and Jesus died and was buried and rose again. And what Jesus invites you to do this morning is to repent of your sin and believe fully in him and then confess him as Lord, God, King. Commit yourself to follow him. When you do that, here's what will happen. He will give you his righteousness. You will be declared positionally righteous, and the holy fire of God will begin to burn in your soul, and he will show you how to build on this foundation with gold and silver and precious stones, a life that matters. I invite you to receive justification. Second thing I invite you to do is to embrace sanctification. Repent in those areas where the Holy Spirit is convicting you right now. Repent tomorrow when the Holy Spirit prompts you. Your life is off course. Repent. Don't ignore. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Embrace the process of sanctification. And then the final thing I'd say as Richard comes is cling to the hope of glorification. Church family, do you realize we've read the end of the book and we know how this story ends, and it ends really, really good for every child of God. It ends with us spending eternity with Jesus in heaven, and we should hold on to the hope that Jesus is coming again and we are going to live with him forever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. So let me pray and Richard will dismiss us. Lord Jesus, may we not grieve the work of your Holy Spirit. May we embrace the holy fire of God. Lord Jesus, burn brightly in every one of us this week. Bring us to a place of repentance and embracing forgiveness and saying, we press forward to the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.